Nothing is more fundamental to the entire Conversations with God cosmology than what I'm going to share with you now. It's a formula. It's a way of looking at all of life. And this formula, once applied to your life, can really change the totality of your experience. It's a technique. It's a tool that you can use. And I'm going to show you a very practical way you can use it. But this tool is more than just a little bit of a technique. It's really a powerful mechanism that allows you to experience in your own day-to-day reality your true identity. That allows you to experience who you really are in ultimate reality. We've been talking in this program about who you really are several times now. Of course, who you are is an aspect of divinity, an individuation of the divine, a singularization of the singularity. That's who you are. And you've come here to demonstrate that. You've come to the earth in order to express and to experience that. But how to translate all of those words into everyday life encounters, on the ground, right here on earth? That becomes the question. When I was a young man, I was told by my father how I could get through life, how I could be a success in life, how I could find happiness in life, some level of security in life. And so he gave me a formula that he thought would be important for me to understand. And I came to understand that formula. He didn't say it this way, but it registered in my mind as three aspects or three elements: have, do, be. And here's how my dad explained it to me. He said, "Son, when you have good grades, you can do the thing called graduate from school, and you can be the thing called eligible for a good job." And so he taught me, without actually putting it in so many words, as I said a minute ago, but he taught me a formula that I integrated into my thinking as the have, do, be formula. When you have good grades, you can do the thing called graduate. You can be the thing called ready to get a good job. When you have enough time, you can do the thing called take a vacation. And you can be the thing called relaxed. When you have enough money, you can do the thing called buy a house. And you can be the thing called secure. So I had this formula in my mind that if I simply had the right stuff, I could do what I needed to do in order to be what I was attempting to be. Nobody really explained to me the ins and outs of that formula, or even why it was an important part of life. I didn't understand the fundamental impulse of life until I was in the middle of my conversation with God. I mean, I was like 52 years old, and I finally understood that the entire experience of my life, the entire process of my life, was an attempt to be something. Think about this just for a minute. This is something I never thought about until I was, as I said, around 52 or 53 years old. Give yourself a chance to think about this now. Come to understand that everything that you think, say, and do is an attempt to be something. Maybe you've never thought of your life in that way, but I want to reframe your life experience within this context. So I'm going to say it again. Everything that you think, say, and do is nothing more than an attempt to be something. Maybe that's why we're called human beings, because we're always trying to be something. So if you just do this, if you just kind of scratch it, you're doing that in order to be more comfortable, to relieve the itch, so you can be more comfortable. If you wear a shirt like this, you're wearing this shirt and not a t-shirt or a crazy shirt because you want to be the thing called handsome, which is not difficult for me. as you can see. If you say certain things, you say them because you want to be the thing called charming, which I am as a natural way of being. That's who I am. I'm just a totally charming person. The point is, no matter what, I don't care what you're doing. If you're in a restaurant, you're getting ready to eat a meal. If you're getting ready to order a meal. If you're getting ready to buy a car. If you're getting ready to marry a person. Or whatever decision you're about to make, whether it's a big decision or a small decision, everything you've ever said, thought, or done is an attempt to be something. That is, you hope that there will be a result. And the result that you hope that you're going to produce by what you're having, doing, and being is something that you get to be at the end. You get to be happy. You get to be secure. You get to be understanding. You get to be successful. Whatever it is you're trying to be. Well, you know what I discovered in my life? I used my dad's formula. I mean, I did what he taught me. I did what he said. I got good grades. And I graduated from high school, never went to college. because I hated school, but that's another story. But I had good grades and I graduated from school and I was job eligible. Yes? So I followed my dad's have, do, be formula. When I had enough time, I took a vacation. And I got to be the thing called relaxed. When I had enough money, I got to do the thing called buy a house. And I got to be the thing called secure. And that's how I lived my life until I was around 25 or 30 years old. But here's what I found out. It was interesting. The interesting facet of all of this is that my state of being that I was seeking to achieve by doing these things and having the stuff I needed to have in order to do it, the state of being that I was trying to achieve never stayed with me. It was very ephemeral. That is, it was in and out. I couldn't hold on to it. It was like sand slipping through my fingers. I couldn't hold on to my state of being. Maybe I was being happy for a while, but happiness would soon fly away. Maybe I was feeling secure for a while, but security soon disappeared. Maybe I was being relaxed for a while, but relaxation just evaporated. And I couldn't hold on to my state of being. All of my beingness states were simply temporary. And so when I had my conversation with God at the age of 50, I asked God, I don't understand. I'm obeying the rules. I'm doing what I was told. You know, when you have the right stuff, you get to do what you need to do, and you get to be what you want to be. It's very simple. I'm following the rules. Why isn't it working? Why can't I hang on to what I want to be? Why can't I hang on to my success? Or to my happiness? Or to my joy? Or to my peace? Most of all, why can't I hang on to my peace? God said, Neil, it's really very simple. You got it all backward. I said, what do you mean? What do you mean I got it all backward? She said, look, it's really very simple. The formula that your dad gave you, he meant well, that he was doing his best, but he didn't understand. He had the formula backward. Life doesn't work according to a have, do, be formula. Life works the other way around. Be, do, have. And so in conversations with God, I was given the be, do, have paradigm. God said, start where you wanted to finish. You thought you had to have something in order to do something, in order to be something. God said, take beingness and put it at the beginning. Start where you wanted to finish. Start over here. And then when you are being something first, then you will be doing things that emerge and mirror or reflect what you're being, and then you'll have all the things that a person who is being and doing those things has. And the end of the line will be havingness, because you will start where you thought you needed to end up. And I didn't understand how that could happen. I said, wait a minute, how can I be happy if I'm not happy? How can I be relaxed if I'm not relaxed? Don't I have to have certain things and do certain things in order to be relaxed? Don't I have to have certain things and do certain things in order to be secure? Don't I have to have stuff and do certain things in order to be successful and all of the rest? And God said, no. No. Here's the magic. Here's the incredible magic of how this works. Beingness, a word I use in English called beingness, what you are being depends on nothing exterior to yourself. You don't have to have or do anything in order to be what you choose to be. You can decide to be something just arbitrarily. You can simply decide, I am that. And when I was told that, I decided to try it out. I decided to start making what I call I am statements. I am peaceful. I am content. I am joyful. I am happy. I am successful. I am relaxed. Making statements that had no basis in fact, that is, there was nothing, no condition, no physical condition in the outside world that allowed me to claim that. It was a claim that I made before the conditions existed. Did you hear that? I said it was a claim that I made before the conditions existed. The conditions that I used to think had to exist before I could claim it. And my father taught me this inadvertently by showing me the wrong way to do it. But I learned now in my life that I had the ability to actually claim a state of being without having what I thought I needed to have. Let me give you a simple example, just a little life illustration. Ever gone to the dentist and felt nervous about it? Well, most of us as a child did not enjoy our visits to the dentist. I didn't, and most of the kids that I knew didn't. We didn't look forward to going to the dentist. In fact, I was when I was really small, I was actually frightened. I would actually cry in the dentist chair. When I got a little older, I didn't cry in the dentist chair, but I certainly didn't enjoy it. I wasn't really happy about it. I wasn't being what you'd call relaxed. But somewhere along the way, somewhere in my life, I forgot when it was. Maybe I was 18, 14, 21, I don't even remember. But somewhere along the way, I decided that I could make a decision about how I wanted to be when I was in the dentist chair, and that my decision would have nothing to do with what was going on. That is, it would have nothing to do with the conditions in the dental office. It had to do with a decision I made up here. So I decided to try that out. You know, I sat in the dentist chair. I am relaxed. I'm okay with this. I'm going to be fine. Everything is okay. And I got to tell you that it made my visit to the dentist a lot less challenging and a lot more pleasant, actually. I enjoyed the people there, and I was okay with the whole thing. It's a simple example, but many of us have found it possible to claim a state of being without the conditions that we imagined are required in order to be that. Now, what God said is do that all the time, not just with simple examples like the dentist chair, but start off everything you want to be in your life by making declarations, powerful declarations of beingness. I am successful. I am peaceful. I am relaxed. I am secure. And you know, it's hard for us to do that because we think we need evidence to prove it. Also, as a child, we were taught not to do that. You know, as a child, we said things. Maybe we didn't say it in so many words. Sometimes we actually said, I'm wonderful. I'm great. You know, I know I did as a child when I was 2, 3, and 4 years old. I used to say things like that. And I certainly thought things like that. I'm wonderful. And I'm great. Neil the Great. If my father ever heard me say that, he'd say, son, you can't say things like that. You're to be seen and not heard. Stop talking that way. You have to earn your way in on all the rest. All the rest of the things that parents tell us we shouldn't think those things about ourselves until we prove ourselves worthy of saying such a thing. So we were taught as children, you have to have the right stuff and do the right things in order to be wonderful, in order to claim your magnificence. And what God said was, turn it upside down. Start where you want to finish. You are what you say you are, Conversations with God told us. So you make I am statements. I am compassion. I am the personification of compassion. I am wise. I am clear. I am understanding. I am successful. I am peaceful. I am that I am. I am that I am. A statement that was made to me many years ago when I was a child, I was told that God says, I am that I am. Well, now I understand where that statement came from as well. So what I was told and taught in Conversations with God was that I could change my whole life completely around, turn it upside down, by simply changing the formula from have, do, be to be, do, have. And here's how it works. When you claim that you are something, let me give you an example. I am secure. See, no evidence now. No evidence. I've done nothing to demonstrate that I'm secure. I just claim it. I claim it. I am secure. When I claim something like security, here's what happens. What I do, oh, by the way, doing this never stops in your life. You're always doing something. You understand that? See, notice that in the formula, whether it was have, do, be, or be, do, have, doing this is always the middle part of the formula. Even if you have it backward, doing what you're doing is always part of the formula. That's because in life you're always doing something. Every minute of your life, think about it. Every minute of your life you're always doing something. Even when you think you're not doing something, even when you're lying in bed sleeping, you're still doing something. Your heart is beating, you know, your lungs are breathing, your hair is growing. You're always doing something. You're always up to something. You might as well know that. So doing something is always going to be part of your life. You're always doing something. The question is not whether you're doing something. The question is why. Did you hear what I said? I said the question is not whether you're doing something. The question is why. Are you doing something in order to be something? Are you doing something in order to get somewhere? To get to an experience? Or are you doing something in order to demonstrate that you already are having the experience? That you are already being that? When you claim your state of being first, then your doing function, what you're doing in your life, winds up being a demonstration of that. People who are secure and claim their security first wind up doing things that only a secure person would do. People who are relaxed and claim their state of relaxation first wind up doing things that only people who are relaxed would ever do. People who are claiming that they are successful, I am being success, I am successful, wind up doing things that only successful people would do. Isn't it interesting then that people who are doing what they're doing in order to demonstrate what they're being wind up having what people who are being that have. People who demonstrate that they are being successful have the things that successful people have. People who are demonstrating by what they're doing that they are being relaxed have the experiences that people who are relaxed have. People who are doing what they're doing as a demonstration that they are being secure have the things that people who are secure have. That's the be, do, have paradigm. That's the formula for all of life. And what's interesting about this formula is that the being choices that you make are not ephemeral. They don't disappear because they're not something you're trying to produce. That's what I understood in conversations with God. In the old formula, have, do, be, my beingness would be there temporarily. You know, as I said before, I could be successful. I could be secure. I could be relaxed, but only for a while. It would just disappear after a while. But when you choose it as a declaration, rather than as something you're trying to produce, you can claim it anytime you wish. Anytime you choose, you can claim to be that, and you require nothing in order to be it. Therefore, it is not ephemeral. It doesn't have to fly away. Even if it does disappear from your beingness momentarily, you can reclaim it a moment later. You can reclaim your state of being the moment you see that it has dissipated or disappeared. You can claim it again. That's the moment of pure creation. The moment that you claim again what you choose to be is the moment of pure creation. And that, by the way, is what you came here to do. You came here to create. The act of creation is the act of divinity expressed. You know, the world's religions disagree on a lot of things. There are a lot of religions in the world, and almost all the world's religions disagree on what we call the fine print. You know, the fine print in the contract. Almost all the world's religions have differences between them. But here's one thing that all the world's religions agree on. Fascinating. Every religion in the world agrees on this one thing. God is the creator. God is that which creates. God is the creator of heaven and earth and of all things visible and invisible in the cosmos. No religion disagrees with that, or it wouldn't be a religion. The basis of every religion on the planet is that God is the creator. Now, I bring that up here for a reason. If you are claiming your divinity, if you are laying claim to the fact that you are being divine, then in the act of being divine, you will create. Creation, the act of creation, is the highest demonstration of divinity. Remember that always. The act of creation is the highest demonstration of divinity. Especially when you create with absolute freedom to create whatever it is you wish to experience yourself as having. So, the function of what you are doing is an act of creating what you are being and turning it into physical reality. And by that formula, you wind up having the same things that everyone else who is doing the things that successful or relaxed or secure people do. And you could put anything in that place of being this. I'm relaxed. I'm peaceful. I'm intelligent. I'm wise. I'm clear. I'm understanding. I'm forgiving. And here's a daring one. Here's one that only a true student of the grandest spiritual experience would ever even attempt. I dare you on this one. I am being holy. I am a holy person. That is, I am demonstrating holiness in the things that I am doing and in how I am doing them. Now, maybe Spiritual masters don't think of it in those terms. In fact, I'm certain that they don't. But at the beginning of your spiritual training, it is a wonderful, wonderful exercise. Let me give you a little bit of a process that you might find useful. I've written it down here because it's really a powerful process. It's what I call the be-do-have grid. It's a grid. You take a piece of paper. I want you to take a piece of paper out, and I want you to draw on the piece of paper 7 columns, 1 column for each day of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, a column for each day of the week. Then I want you to make lines across, left to right, across the column for every hour of the day, from 7 o'clock in the morning until 7 o'clock at night, 7, 8, 9, 10, and so forth, all the way down. Now you have what looks like a calendar almost, 7 days up and down, and the hours of the day, 12 hours a day, from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Now, in each of those squares that are created by the grid, write in a state of being that you choose to demonstrate in, as, and through yourself. Write this in a particular time period. Let me give you an example, for instance. Let's say from 7 and 8 in the morning on Mondays, you're going to be creative. Let's just decide that. So you write the word creative, 7 to 8 Monday morning. 8 to 9 Monday morning, you're going to be industrious. So write down, I am industrious from 8 to 9 in the morning. From 9 to 10 in the morning, I am cordial, because the boss is coming in at 9 o'clock. So I am cordial. See, just choose a state of being for every hour of each day on the grid 7 days a week. Why do this? It's an experiment. We're doing it as an experiment so that you can decide to be creative, productive, industrious, or whatever. You might even decide to be, at 7 o'clock at night, sensual. You come home from work, your spouse is in the house, and you decide maybe it's a good moment for a bit of romance. And you decide to be sensual. See, all of us know how to do this, by the way. This is not a new experience. All of us have already done this with certain aspects of life. For instance, when we want to experience a little romance, we know how to be sensual. We know how to act in a sensual way. Nobody has to explain that to us if you're over 12 or 15. We know how to be sensual. We also know how to be exciting and inspiring and creative. We know how to be these things. We just have got it mixed up. We sometimes think that things have to happen first in order for us to be those things. But there are certain things that we've decided ahead of time. And what I'm trying to say to you here in this program is, when you decide ahead of time what you want to be and bring that into any moment of your life, the moment generates a way of doing whatever you're doing that produces you having what it is you chose to have as a result of that. Now, the purpose of this wonderful grid that I was explaining to you, this grid is powerful because it can show you how easy it is. Let's say you decide to be cordial from 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock on Monday morning. You can actually wind up doing things that a cordial person would do, a person who's being polite and who's being cordial with other people. You can watch yourself do things that a person who's being cordial would do. Let's say you've decided to be industrious from 8 o'clock till 9 o'clock on Monday morning on your grid. You can actually watch yourself doing things that a person who has chosen to be industrious would do. The same is true of the other example that I use, creativity. Suppose you decided that from 7 o'clock till 8 o'clock on Monday morning, you wrote in your grid, creative, I am creative. You can watch yourself doing what creative people do. And by the way, eliminating doing things that are not in that category. So you would not do anything that's not creative. You probably wouldn't use that time to wash the kitchen floor, or do the dishes, or clean your clothes, or iron your shirt, unless that's terribly creative for you. You would only choose to do things that are creative. By the way, this works in my life exactly that way. Do you know that from 4:30 in the morning until 10 o'clock in the morning, I refuse to do anything that's not creative? I simply won't do it. There are things in my life I have to do. We all have things that we have to do. Well, we don't really have to do them if we don't want to, but we all choose to do certain things because we want to do them in order to get certain things accomplished, like mop the floor, or clean the kitchen, or make the bed. See, I won't even make my bed in the morning until like 10 o'clock in the morning, because making the bed is not very creative for me. And from 4:30 in the morning or 5 o'clock when I get up until 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, I refuse to do mundane stuff because I've decided that in the morning, that's my time to be creative. Are you getting the picture here? Are you understanding? All of us have done this kind of thing. All of us have made these choices. But when you make these choices as a system, systematically throughout your life, then you started to employ the be, do, have paradigm. And your whole life will become powerfully impactful, incredibly effective, wonderfully joyful. And you will discover that you have keyed into, you've unlocked the door to creativity. Not just creative projects, but creating yourself. Allowing yourself to have what you've always wanted to have in life because you've chosen to be what you've chosen to be first and not last. So, Shakespeare knew what he was talking about when he said, to be or not to be. That is the question.